Welcome to that Eurovision podcast, Eurovision with a slice of life. My name is Rory, and I'm doing fairly well today. We've already tried to record this episode already, and then for some reason the technical issues just decided to say no. So we're just giving this another little quick roundup. But yeah, I'm doing pretty well. It's really nice and sunny outside, and I'm just ready to like talk about these last block of Eurovision songs, really. So yeah, joining me.
The internet's being a bane of my existence right now, so you're probably going to have to hear that a lot, because every time they speak, I'm going to have to go on mute because my internet's not working properly. So yeah, it's going to be I'm hoping things work out this second time round, but I'm not holding out hope. I'm being cautiously pessimistic.
Let's hope.
And hi, it's Rosie. It's beautifully sunny. I have bees constantly knocking against my window right now. And we have so much quality to discuss in this episode. So I am very, very excited and very much looking forward to spreading my Eurovision joy for this year.
Yeah, it's kind of mental, but you know what, we're in our final little block of songs now, so we're having a great time. I can't believe we've literally been going on for this for like nearly 5 weeks now. Like, how the hell have we managed to do this? But yes, yeah, so we are in our last block. In the last 4 weeks, in our last four episodes, we have been talking about all of the songs in the semi-finals, and this time around we're going to be looking at the songs that are automatically qualified to the final from the so-called Big Five, plus the host country of the Netherlands. So, yes, and also, because this is the second time that we've done it, and we were fairly rambling on when we were trying to do it, we've decided to be a little bit more strict with ourselves this time around. So we're going to have a six-minute slot each to make sure that we have all of our opinions in, and just so that it stops us from waffling, I guess, so that when you're listening to this, we're not just completely talking your ear off. So who knows, maybe it's gonna go really well, maybe not, we'll see.
Am I allowed to ask Måneskin to step on me still?
Maybe. Yes, by all means, you're more than welcome to. But yes, so we might as well kick things off. We might as well start off with the first song that we're going to be talking about. And the first song that we are going to be talking about is going to be France. Now, France will be represented by Barbara Pravi, and she will be singing her song Voila. And Voila was one of the first songs that was sort of selected for Eurovision 2021. So we've known it for a very long time. And yeah, have a little listen to what Voila sounds like now.
So when the songs for C'est vous qui décidez came out, I sort of struggled to connect with a lot of them. There were some that I thought, this is nice, this is perfectly pleasant, but it really did take me until the live show to really get a lot of these songs. And I think Voila just absolutely captivated me live. I think Barbara Pravi has the most incredible stage presence, and there is something that is so really beautiful about this song. I think the lyrics are absolutely stunning. I love how it builds. Her voice is amazing. It's currently my fifth place, and I would not especially be disappointed if this won. I think there's something just really magical about this. And I think a lot of that is from Barbara herself. I know a lot of people are sort of potentially saying that this might do an Amar Pelosh Deutsch. And I think the main difference for me is that I sort of struggled to connect with Salvador when he was performing. Barbara kind of reaches out to you and grabs you by the throat and says, you have to listen to what I have to say. And like, yes, Barbara, I will listen to what you have to say. I will do anything you want me to. And I really, really hope that this captures people the same way that it's captured me, because it's just art.
Right. Yeah. Sorry, technical issues. I'll try and be really short and sweet about this. I personally agree with Rosie that she's a captivating performer. She's an amazing performer, and I think that really, really helps with her chances to win Eurovision this year. I have heard rumblings that they're thinking of changing Barbara's staging up from the national final. But I am very much of the opinion, if something's not broke, don't fix it. So that leaves me a little bit nervous for what they're going to do on the Eurovision stage, because I think what they did back in the French national final was pretty much perfect for the song as you can get. And I absolutely agree. I absolutely can definitely see this winning. Yeah. And I wouldn't be disappointed if it did, even though the song itself isn't that high up in my top. Just simply because the songs that are more to my taste than this, it is sitting in my lowish 20s. But that doesn't mean by any means it's a bad song at all. So.
Voila was one of those songs that really just kind of captivated me from the first listen, and you can immediately tell that this song is just so personal to her. And it just goes to show, because, you know, she wrote the song, she composed the song essentially as well. We know that she's a really standout performer, and that really showed in C'est vous qui décidez, because, you know, the emotion that she was sending in that song when she was performing, you know, it seemed so, like, genuine and authentic, really. This currently is the second favorite to win the entire show with the bookmakers, and I can see why. The song, it's so, like, impactful, and the song, like, the lyrics, you don't even need to know what she's singing about. You don't even need to understand French. You can just tell that this is just something that she's really passionate about. It's something that she's really, like, invested in, and I would love to see this really do well, and I think she does an amazing vocal performance of it. The arrangement of it is so strong. It starts off with just like one small little piano ballad like note, and then it just completely changes as it goes on. It just builds and builds and builds. I have some friends who have actually listened to the song as well, and they have put it on their playlists, and they sing it with me as well, and I just think this has the potential to be really a dark horse that no one would have really seen coming. I'm really hoping that they don't completely ruin it with the staging. I've heard that they're not going to be including the Eiffel Tower, which is so sad, because, you know, what is Eurovision in France without the Eiffel Tower? I hope that they get to use it maybe in the spokesperson bit, but keeping my fingers crossed. Also, technically, I mean, Rosie made a little point actually about this. The top two at the moment have a connection to Junior Eurovision, and it would be amazing if either of the two of them won, because one of them actually won it as a singer and then the other one won it as a composer. So whether or not France will win it again, we will wait and see. I mean, it would be great, because the last time that France won was in 1977. So I think it's only fair that they actually get the quality and the results that they're kind of deserving, you know? We might as well carry on with the next song. And the next song that we are going to be discussing is Germany. Now, Germany will be represented by Jendrik Siegwart, otherwise known as just Jendrik. And he will be singing his song, I Don't Feel Hate. We were fortunate enough to actually speak to Jendrik. If you want to listen to our interview with him, please check it out on our YouTube channel. And yeah, have a little listen to I Don't Feel Hate now.
When you realize those words just don't hit me.
What?
Because I don't feel hate, I just feel sorry. It feels very clever whenever you find another way to wear me down. But I don't feel hate, I just feel sorry.
I'm very aware that at times on this podcast and anywhere else other people might interact with me, that I can come across as a little bit of a snob sometimes, particularly when it comes to music. And sometimes songs just come along that sort of make me just put all of that aside and just enjoy it. And this is really one of those songs for me. It gives me the same sort of feeling as No Prejudice by Polapunk. Is it the most lyrically inventive or musically interesting sort of song that we've got this year? No, it's not. But it is pure, absolute joy. And I think being lucky enough now, having been able to actually talk to Jendrik as well, you can absolutely see his personality coming through. And it's sort of diverse but cohesive. So you've got the sort of the ukulele bit, you've got the tap break, you've got all of the different sorts of elements to the song, and they just really work for me. But ultimately, this song exists to make people happy. And yes, it's got a serious message behind it as well, and I think that's really well portrayed. But it's just one of those songs that makes me sort of put my sort of sensibilities aside and just makes me smile.
I agree with Rosie that this song is really fun and really, really enjoyable for most people. However, I'm still having some issues connecting with it. However, I do think that Jendrik has something that's actually quite important to say. We should take on hate, but not fighting hate with hate, if you get what I mean. I think he's such a happy, positive person, and he seems like he's such a hard worker as well. And I absolutely love him. This is one of those songs that I wish I did actually like a lot more than I do, because I think the artist behind it and the way he talks about how he created the song and how it came about is absolutely brilliant. And I think he's quite a genius for like mixing something that's quite fun into something quite serious. And I do think it's a good way to get a serious message across. I've seen a lot of people saying they think this will come last. I don't personally see that. I do think there will be televoters that will gravitate toward this. I also think a lot of children who may be watching the contest will be asking their mums and dads to maybe give this a vote, because it is a little bit on the childish side, but that's perfectly okay. Like, we've just been in a global pandemic. We need this sense of fun at Eurovision. So I am more than happy for Jendrik to do well with the televotes. He is such a positive person. He deserves it. So that is all I'm going to say on the song.
I think it was fair to say that, like, as soon as we all heard I Don't Feel Hate, when it initially came out, I think we all kind of collectively kind of like grimaced or winced, essentially, just thinking like, how is this going to work? I don't know if it's going to, like, it just feels like they're not taking it seriously. And then once you actually start reading into the lyrics of the song, you actually realize that there's actually a lot more depth to this. And it's easily sort of thought of, oh no, it's just a throwaway song, it's just like fodder or anything like that. But there is actually like a really good message to this. And I think many people are kind of missing the point on it. And so that's why there's a lot of people saying, oh no, it's going to come last, it's going to do this, it's going to do that. After speaking to Jendrik, actually, the song has actually gone up in my estimations by at least about like 7 or 8 places. So it's great to see that they're actually like making a right point to this. And, you know, I feel like a lot of people are underrating this. I mean, I will say it, like, while the song is good, I wouldn't necessarily say it's winner potential. I think it's also not last place potential either. I would say it may be sort of bottom 10. But I do think it's just a very nice song, and it's just really pleasant to listen to. Although I will say, though, when you see such epic performances and epic productions as we've seen, like, with Last Dance, we've seen it with Shum, we've seen it with, even with Vola and, like, Russian Woman as well, you know, these are all, like, very epic productions, and then there's just, like, Jendrik that's just there with this just little ukulele just being like, hello, yes, I'm a ukulele guy doing this stuff, woo. And you know, I like it. It's still like, it's still in my bottom 10, but it's still a really good performance. And I think it's still a really good song, but I just do wonder how well it could go. Yeah, I'm not holding out a lot of hope, but it's still like a respectable entry for Germany, for sure. And
Gianluca managed to do the ukulele thing pretty well. So if they make sure that they keep it really close up and they don't make it seem like tiny guy on stage with tiny instrument and giant open space, and they're just like, here is a guy on stage with his ukulele, then it can really work.
Exactly. So hopefully it'll work out towards like that and it won't just be a complete car crash. We'll see. He alluded to some very big staging, so we'll be keeping our fingers crossed. Anyway, so we might as well move on to the next song that we're going to be talking about, and that is going to be coming to us from Italy. Now, after a massive sort of song selection period from the epic saga that is Sanremo 2021, we finally got our winner at about like 4 a.m. in the morning or thereabouts, and that was Måneskin with the song Ti Te Buoni, which means sort of sit down and shut up. I definitely something different for Italy for sure. Have a little listen to Ti Te Buoni now and we'll get straight into our opinions afterwards. Ma sono fuori di testa, ma diverso da loro. E tu sei fuori di testa, ma diverso da loro.
As the resident Italy stan on this podcast, I'm so into this. I am so, so into this. And honestly, there are about 10 songs in Sanremo this year where I would have had exactly the same sort of reaction. But this feels like such a modern, interesting, unusual entry for Italy, but it still retains the core of what I think makes Italian entries so successful, which is that real focus on lyricism and musicality that is so evident throughout the entirety of Sanremo. And I think that's probably why I tend to like Italian entries so much, because I like songs that are very heavily lyrically focused. And I think the best word to describe this song is stylish. It knows what it's trying to do. It knows exactly what genre it wants to be, and it goes for it and it completely sells it. I think the lyrics are fantastic. I think their stage presence is just incredible. Like, these are people who are 20, 21-ish, and they're just incredible to watch. And it's this most beautiful but powerful glam rock sort of entry, and I am so into this. It is currently it's floating around my third and fourth place at the moment, and I listen to it a lot. I can't stop listening to it. It's just a joy to me, and I really hope this does well. I know rock in Eurovision can be a bit rocky, I guess. I know it can be a bit divisive, and this is very stylized, but I really hope this gets the audience going, because I just love this. Also, that entire band are beautiful. Like what are those genetics? How can I get them? Just wow. Just okay. Anything they do, just wow.
This is an open call to Måneskin to please step on Rosie, please.
When I get to, if I get to Rotterdam and I get to be there, I'll just lie down on the floor with welcome written on me.
Oh God.
I really, really enjoy this. I think it will do well. However, I think that rock sometimes gets underrated by the juries. I really hope this isn't the case with this song, though, because I think although it's like a rock song, it's a really clean, polished rock song. And their performance at Sanremo was so captivating. Watching their music videos, they are such a captivating band. I think they will wow Europe. I think they'll be right up there with the televoters. It's also nice to see Italy send something quite different from what they would normally send to Eurovision. I think Italy tend to send something different, but I don't think we've ever really seen them send a rock entry before, apart from in 2014 with Emma. But I think we just don't speak of that entry because it's just not really that memorable. But this is certainly memorable and it will certainly do well. I just hope that the jurors appreciate this because sometimes rock gets a bad rap at Eurovision with the juries.
So, yeah, I'm very much of the idea that this is something completely out of sort of the ordinary for Italy. And I'm not complaining about it, really. This is currently fourth placed in the bookmakers to win the whole show. And this really could be the sort of dark horse that nobody really saw coming. It's fantastic quality. I think the song does the sort of glam rock genre really, really well. I love to see that they are, you know, really solid as a band, and you know the style of music that they want to go into, it's just incredibly distinctively them. I will say that it wasn't necessarily my favorite in Sanremo. That's mostly just because I found that a lot of the songs in the actual newcomer section were kind of better than the ones that were actually competing. But that's just me. I think this is one of those ones to watch out for. It still does give me this sort of Arctic Monkeys, Kasabian, 1975 vibe. Their aesthetic, the visual aesthetic, the audio aesthetic as well. It does hark back to those kind of British sort of indie rock pop vibes. So if that's what they're trying to go for, then that's fantastic. I'm kind of interested to see what they're going to do on stage with this because, you know, every night in Sanremo they were doing something different. So I'm wanting to see what kind of style they're going to go for in the end because obviously, you know, you can only pick one style when it comes to rehearsals and then for the final performance. So I am excited, but I'm also a little bit sort of cautious because, you know, sometimes at least gets its staging really right and then sometimes it can just completely flop. But Italy has been overdue a win for a really long time, so potentially we might pick at something. I'm keeping my fingers crossed, but I'm hopeful that we'll get something out of it soon. So we might as well move on to the next song. We are racing through these now. The next song that we're going to be talking about is going to be coming to us from Spain. Now, Spain, after essentially what was the most dramatic, overrunning national final, I think, of the entire season, and that's saying something with San Remo, we finally got a song for Blas Cantó, who will be representing Spain this year. He will be singing his song Voy a Quedarme, which means I'll be staying or I will stay. On the day of recording, actually, they have just dropped a English version of the song, but of course the Spanish version is going to be the one that is going to be participating. And have a little listen to it now and then we'll just get straight into it. Voy a quedarme, prometo quererte más que ayer. Voy a besarte muy lento como la primera vez y dejar atrás el miedo con tu alma entre mis dedos.
For me, this is one of those songs that really relies on its live performance and its singer. The song itself is pleasant. It's nice to listen to. It's very pretty, but ultimately I find it quite average. And I really do think it's sort of up to Blas to really bring this to life during the live performance. I think it's very nice. But I feel like nice isn't really the sort of word you want to be using. I want to be saying that it's powerful. I want to be saying that it's impactful. I want to be saying that it's emotional. And so far, it hasn't quite hit any of those categories for me so far in the ways that a lot of the other songs, even songs we've talked about in this episode, have done so for me. The other thing that really confuses me about this song is I believe he says that it's supposed to be written about his grandmother, but then there's a line in the song where it's like, I am going to kiss you very slowly. And I'm like, okay.
Ew, ew.
Okay. And I do think without that lyric, it's a very pretty, very sort of personal song. But I think it possibly needs something more to stand out. I can't see this connecting with people on the night of the grand final in the same way that I can see similarly emotional songs on the surface of things doing, unless Blast really pulls it out of the bag.
Yeah, so this song for me is just one of those ones that I'm trying not to completely let my bias kind of get in the way, because I was a bigger fan of Memoria than I was of Voy a Quedarme. Though when Voy a Quedarme was being performed on stage, it had a far more striking visual presence than what Memoria was. So I can see why it probably did win the national selection. Though I'm just a little bit kind of bored by it, to be honest. It's nothing on Blas's fault, obviously. Like, he has a fantastic voice. It's incredibly unique. He delivers it with so much passion. And then all of a sudden it's just... But I just feel like the song isn't necessarily the right fit for him. If he had a style that was kind of a mix of both Memoria and Voy a Quedarme, that would have been the perfect kind of blend. But unfortunately, we kind of don't really have that. So, I'm kind of just a bit messed by this. It's like my third last place, so roughly like 36th, 37th place. I wouldn't say that it's going to come last. I do think that it could have it, the people who could vote for it. I do maybe think it could get bottom five, though I'm just not entirely sure how that's going to work out for them. And it's a shame because, you know, they have been sending quality recently. It's just that sometimes the staging might not be working right or the song might not be the right fit. I do hope, though, that they do send something soon that sort of gets them back to the same levels of, you know, like Pastora Soler or Ruth Lorenzo. I just hope, because Spain just does really well, and, I mean, okay, Rosie had Måneskin, but Blas Cantó, Step On Me, Please. I'm just hoping for the best for Spain, because you know what, they're constantly underrated, and they always get really bad positions, so I'm just wielding them on, like, come on, you can do it, I believe in you. But yeah, I'm a little bit unenthused by this song. I think in such a strong year, when you have so many different sort of styles and people being like unique and different ways of things, a generic kind of ballad pop song, it's not going to make the same waves, essentially. But whether or not it gets out of the bottom five or if it gets sort of relegated there, we won't know until the final night. So keep your eyes peeled, I think, is the right way. So we might as well move on to the penultimate song in this block. And we'll try not to get too biased with this, because this song is going to be coming to us from the United Kingdom. So the United Kingdom will be represented by James Newman, as he was supposed to be representing the UK last year. And this time round, he will be singing his song Embers. So have a little listen, and then we will get straight into our opinions.
I gonna
It's always sort of difficult to know where to begin with a UK entry. This is one of those songs where I feel like, okay, yeah, it's not in the heights of my rankings. It is very much a generic, if very well produced, pop song. It's designed to be fun. It's designed to not really have much of a message or a meaning to it. And I like songs that have messages and meanings to them. So, yeah, it wasn't necessarily always going to get to the tops of my rankings. However, from the UK, I think there is something to be proud of here. I think there is something that is, again, just really joyful. James Newman set out to make a banger. He made a banger, and it does exactly what it set out to do. And I enjoy listening to this. I think it's a great song. It's not approaching my winners. I think the staging could probably make or break whether it gets out of the bottom five or not. I would really like it to, but this year is just so strong. And I think in plenty of other years, we would have said this could be sort of mid-table. But I think particularly because we are going to lose so many strong songs, particularly in semi-final one, I think the final is going to be such high quality that it's really going to need something special to make it stand out amongst all of the other songs that are in there. I guess luckily on that front, there aren't really a huge number of sort of male-fronted upbeat pop numbers. The only one that's coming to my mind right now is Omega. I might be missing something that I can't think of right now, but it definitely stands out as an entry. I just really hope that they get everything right on the night and give this song the absolute best chance that it possibly can, because we've said it on this podcast before, we never want a country to do badly. We want every country to send their strongest effort, their strongest singers, their best songs, their best staging. We want countries to do well. And the sad part of a high quality, incredibly strong contest is that some songs that are very good are not necessarily going to hit the heights of the results table, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, so I guess I can be a little bit more opinionated, I guess, because I'm not necessarily being seen as incredibly biased, because I'm not necessarily from the UK, I'm actually from Ireland. But, you know, this song, it just doesn't even feel like it's coming from the UK. This is the thing, because we've gotten so used to these sort of songs that, they're okay, but like, you know, they're not the best. And because these are all people that, you know, we don't really know, who are relatively unknown, and it's great because, you know, you can launch a career out of it, as well we've seen with Lucy Jones, we've seen it with Suri. This song for me is just, it's very reminiscent of the UK charts, and that's what he was trying to do. Unfortunately for him, I don't really like what's in a lot of the UK charts, because a lot of the UK charts are just like remixes and sort of these sort of rudimental style songs, and they're just not really something that I'm that really fussed about. So this isn't really something that's going to be on my playlist anytime soon. It's not going to make like waves beyond, I don't know, the 20s or something in my top 10. But I love the charisma that he has. I mean, you can tell he's not a dancer, but he really is trying in that music video. And I think, you know, his intention was just to get people up and dancing. And that's exactly what he wants. And that's what we want to do as well, because it's been so long since we've been doing, like, nothing, since we've been out to a club or anything like that. I do think this will get, like, a decent result. I'm thinking maybe between, like, 13th and 17th place, which probably for the UK would still be seen as, like, some kind of victory. But obviously, it's a slow build for what's to come. And given the fact that, you know, we've seen certain countries, you know, they struggle at first and then they do really well, I could see this as maybe the start of the UK's upswing. I'm really hoping, fingers crossed. And I mean, if the UK wins, can we please have it in Manchester? I live here and it'd be so much easier. I don't have to pay like £250 just to go on the train.
No, because Yorkshire, right. Yorkshire. It'll still be in the north though, so you wouldn't have to pay that much.
I mean, true, but...
I know what. Why don't we have it in my back garden?
Why not? Make it like San Marino with Valentina's back garden. I don't see why not.
I've got a decking, I've got a stage, I've got plenty of grass.
I don't see why not. BBC, are you paying attention?
Rosie's backyard in 2K22.
Literally. Oh my god. And yeah, now we are getting on to the last song. I can't believe we've actually made it to this point now. It's the final song that we're going to be reviewing, and it's going to be coming to us from the Netherlands, the host country of Eurovision 2021. It will be represented by Jongu McCroy, who will be singing the song Birth of a New Age. And isn't this completely different from last year? Wow. Yes, for the final time, have a little listen to the song and then just see what we think about it.
Probably the song that I think is being the most severely underrated by the fandom this year. This is currently in my top 10. I believe it's around my 7th or 8th place right now. And I just think this is such an incredible piece of music. I think this is so powerful. I think the lyrics are absolute mastery. I think they are just beautiful. And there is something so timely and so powerful. And this song fills me with a lot of hope and a lot of power. And I feel powerful listening to it. And this song isn't even written for me. This song has such a clear Black perspective. And I'm sitting here as a white woman in the UK, and I can just feel the power and the significance of every single element that Jongu has put into this piece of music. The instrumentals, the symbolism in the lyrics, the use of Srine and Tongo in the chorus. It's just so incredible to me. And also the music video. Like, okay, we know the music video is not going to translate onto stage necessarily, but the music video is just so incredible. And I almost feel sort of weird praising this song too much because I do not feel like this song was written for me. I feel like this song was written as an act of Black power and Black resistance and Black resilience at a time when we are so aware of the Black Lives Matter movement and everything that is going on in worldwide racial discourse and also sort of empowerment discourse more broadly as well. And I think it captures that moment so perfectly. And I am just in love with this song. I think this is such a huge risk from the Netherlands. And I am so worried that this is not going to get the appreciation that I think this really deserves. I'm really worried this might get taken as a joke entry when that feels deeply uncomfortable to me as a concept. I know similar happened with Kano's entry in 2019, where it was like, it's the bald guy singing a funny song. It's like, no, this is something that is deeply culturally significant for people. And I really worry that people might not necessarily engage with it enough to get that. I really hope they do. I really hope people see just how powerful this is.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat as Rosie here. I mean, this song is being incredibly slept on. I have no idea why people keep... I kind of keep an eye out and just see what people are like on YouTube and like on other places, just to put my ear to the ground and just see what it's like. And so many people have this either as like their last place or like in their bottom five. And I just don't see why. Like, the song is incredibly powerful. Like, the song has so much to say. Like, it's the hook, the rhythm, like, "Your rhythm is rebellion." That in itself is one of the most powerful lyrics we've ever heard in like a Eurovision context. And I have a feeling that potentially maybe some of the sort of indifference towards this song, because I've not actually seen any hate towards it. I think it's just people have just kind of passed it by. But I think part of the reason for the indifference is just because maybe they feel like the song isn't necessarily for them, so it's not trying to access a wider market, because, I mean, Europe is predominantly white, but of course there is a large sort of people of color percentage demographic across the whole of the continent. So maybe it's trying to, like, they feel like a little bit excluded from that, but even in that point, you can still apply this to the same idea. So I just don't know. I don't know why people are sleeping on this. Jungkook's voice is phenomenal in this. I think, you know, the African beats in the sort of breakdown bit that then get put into the final sort of chorus, the final rendition. I just think this is incredibly innovative. I think it's so just personal as well. And, like, you know, this is his response to everything that has been going on in the wake of, like, Black Lives Matter, George Floyd, all of that kind of thing. And even just his perspective as just some, as a person of color who's moved from Suriname to the Netherlands. And the fact that he's including the Surinamese Creole in there, I think, is an amazing touch. And I absolutely hate it. I'm going to get a little bit sort of controversial here. I absolutely hate it when people and fans recognize that he's not saying the word broccoli, but they continue to make the jokes about it. That in itself just shows your cultural ignorance. And if you are literally, you know what's going on and you just still refuse to think, oh no, he's just singing a song about broccoli, you've completely missed the point. And like, why? I just don't understand why. So I am not looking forward to seeing how... I have a feeling potentially maybe Graham Norton could use this against, like, that whole vibe. But if he has any sense, he won't do that. But this is still a phenomenal host entry. I think it's one of my favorite host entries from the past sort of 10 years, including, you know, Au Jardin, Taken by a Stranger, When the Music Dies. There's a lot of, and I'm Yours as well, you know, like, it fits into that caliber. And I think the Dutch should be really, really proud of it. And I don't see why this should get, like, in the bottom five. I think this should get easily either a mid-table result or potentially towards the lower half. But I'm keeping my fingers crossed for the former because, you know, with a song like this, you need to have that.
I think as well, it's worth recognizing the context of this song in that Suriname is a former Dutch colony. Like, there is something deeply, intimately powerful. And I'm not quite sure of the right word to say. There's something very sort of intimately connected about Jungkook's own heritage and his own culture, almost in not necessarily in a way that's sort of critical, but it's definitely in that, it's in the context of the fact that he's from a country that has faced the negative aspects of colonization, and then he's almost reclaiming that and representing that from the Dutch perspective. And he's representing the Netherlands as a country with this song that is, if not explicitly, then certainly implicitly within this politics of colonization. I think that's incredible. I think that is amazing. And I think it's so important to recognize that. And I'm really hoping that Graham Norton et al, other commentators, don't go the easy route with this, because I've seen it before when there have been songs that have significant political messages, that he has been able to treat them with some degree of respect. I was rewatching the 2018 contest the other day, and he was very much willing to explain the stories of Mercy and Non mi avete fatto niente, both of which, again, are deeply serious political songs. And so I really, really hope he goes down that route and doesn't just go for an easy and, I'm going to say it, quite frankly, racist joke.
Yeah, fingers crossed that doesn't happen. And if so, can we please launch Ofcom complaints, please? Also, if you have recent Eurovisions with Graham Norton commentary, send them my way, please, because I want to hear how bad he was in 2018, because I was drunk. Yes, so that's essentially it. We have covered all 39 songs that will be competing in Eurovision 2021. One of these songs, or one of the songs from the semifinals, will be the winner, and I am so excited. I'm so ready for Eurovision 2021 to kick off, and then we can get another winner, and then we can just start the process all over again. Do we have any sort of final points just before we wrap everything up?
What a damn fucking good year this is. What a great year this is.
Definitely. 100%. I think this is one of the strongest years that we've ever had in Eurovision. And now that the rule change has happened, I think this should be the beginning of something really, really interesting. So that is it. That does take us to the end of this episode of That Eurovision Podcast. I'd really like to thank Jazzy and Rosie just for, you know, talking about the Big Five and the Netherlands. And I think it's just going to be such an interesting final, especially with the wide variety of songs that we have from this group. In the meantime, please do continue to follow us on all of our social media. We are on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at That Eurosite. We are also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube as well. So please follow us and subscribe over there so you always get notified for when new episodes and new videos come out. Also, by all means, get in touch as well what you think about this block of songs. Do you think we were right or do you think we were wrong? Is there something that we've been missing out on? Please get in touch. You know, we're always available. We are always open to, you know, new things. And yeah, I'm just ready for this. I'm just ready. So shall we all say goodbye?
Bye.